Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Paul Listnick, Behind the Curtain. My opportunity, as you know, to step away from the world of politics and law that you watch me cover on television every day and get into the world of theater and the arts and magic. Maybe sometimes politics is theater, arts, and magic, I guess. But today we're going to blend the worlds of theater, art, and magic with you. Because I went to an opening of a show the other night, which is called Road Signs at a Red Orchid Theater on Wells Street. And I've seen a lot of magic shows. I mean, I love magic. I'm always at the Chicago Magic Lounge. I'm always at our magic places to go. And then this show blew me away. So I immediately had to talk to the magician slash star of the show afterwards. And I said, would you join me for a podcast? Lovingly, he said, yes. John, Ty, thank you for being with me.
Hey, howdy. It is such a pleasure getting to be here and also to get to share the show with you all and the folks in Chicagoland.
Yeah, you know, I always like to do these interviews after I see a show, because had I not seen you, I would have said, all right, another magic show, another magician. I've done this. I can get it. I'll get through it. And of course I do. But I am so glad I saw this show, because for me, it's no coincidence that you're not at, with all due respect, to a magic venue somewhere. You are performing in a theater venue, a Red Orchid Lounge, a Red Orchid Theater Lounge, because I just had Magic Lounge in my
Yes, head. Chicago Magic Lounge online,
exactly.
Yes.
tell our viewers, our listeners, people who might be watching, they might be listening, what Road Signs is all about, because you just blend the world of theater and magic together so well.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a show that was co-created by a very dear friend of mine and creative partner, Alex Gruen. And, the thrust of the show and really what we were super interested in exploring are things that are taking the world of magic in a direction that is more narrative driven. And we've been kind of calling it almost like a play with magic, because it's kind of in this in-between space, right? And so maybe some of your viewers are familiar with Derek Delgaudio's In and of Itself, and that has been a huge inspiration in kind of approaching the show from a perspective of, what is the core heart of the show? What is it that we want to communicate, and what kind of experience do we want to create for people? And then making sure that any of the magic effects in the show are not effects just for the sake of effects, but are effects that drive that narrative forward and are so tightly intertwined, hopefully, with that kind of experience that one cannot exist without the other. Right. And I was just going to give a little background really quick. The show is based on a quintessential soul searching road trip I went on over a decade ago. And it's a show that is really about our individual and collective dreams and the journeys that we go on to find whatever it is that we're searching for. Yeah.
Well, that's perfect, because again, it comes full circle at the end. It is a story. You are walking us through this journey as we go. That makes it a bit different than many other. It's not just sort of, I even hesitate to use the word tricks, illusions, whatever they are with you, because I think different performers see it differently, but people understand the term. So it is not just magic trick followed by a magic trick. Everything sort of furthers the story. But here's the thing. Many of the magicians I've interviewed, and there have been many because I love this stuff, all talk about the fact that their grandfather gave them a magic show when they were little kids and they fell in love with it, and they all walked through the various famous magicians, usually here from Chicago, that led to their career. But John, you went to Cornell and got a degree in psychology. So at some point you fell off the road.
Yes, but I also minored in theater, philosophy, and information science. So those should have been the warning.
Yeah, but those weren't as funny, so I didn't say those. So.
Yeah, but I've been studying magic and obsessed with it since around the eighth grade. And, a longer story short, I basically saw a guy doing card tricks, and he did something that was so reality-breaking for me at the time that I just had to find out more about whatever this was, right? It wasn't even so much about that trick itself, but I ran home, and it was the early days of e-commerce in the world of magic, and I found a magic DVD, and I ran to my dad, and I was like, hey, Dad, will you buy this DVD for me? And he looks at it, he goes, $50 for a DVD? And I'm like, they'll teach me how to levitate. It's legit,
Right.
But And then I was just hooked, and for whatever reason, I never got out of it. And as with anything that spans, over 20 years at this point, my relationship with it has changed and evolved over time, but it's always been part of my life. And but the way that I want to use magic as a tool to create stories, to create experiences has changed over time. And at this point has kind of culminated in this at this moment.
Yeah, well, in my review of the show, I call it jaw-dropping. And that review, by the way, will appear along with this interview. It also appears at aroundthetownchicago.com, so people can see the review in a couple of places. But that being said, when people do the kinds of performances that you do, I've often asked magicians, is it true? And I'll ask you too. Is it true that if I knew how you, because everything you do, my jaw dropped. I'm whatever. What is he? How is he doing it? But I've always been told by magicians and mind readers, because what you do is there's little touches of that in here as well. I've always been told that if I knew how you did it, I'd be disappointed. Do you stand by that?
It's such a funny thing. Oftentimes, and I felt this when I first learned magic, which was that feeling of disappointment, right? Because I think part of us really wants for it to be real, right? And so when we find out that it's all kind of grounded in reality in different ways, there is a bit of an initial kind of disappointment shock to that. But what's funny is I find that these days there's a different kind of appreciation, right? Once you understand a little bit more about it, you view it and appreciate it in a different way. And also what's funny is I actually think that magic is fascinating because we know it's not real, right? Because our intellectual minds, when we enter a magic show, we know that what we're about to see intellectually isn't actually possible or isn't actually happening. But when it's good, when it's crafted well, it hopefully feels absolutely real in that moment, right? And it's that kind of contradiction between our intellectual and emotional realities that hopefully leads to that wonderful feeling of astonishment and kind of a letting go of our day-to-day reality in that way.
Well, I'm going to disagree a little bit because, look, I've got a law degree and a PhD, and I still sit there like a little kid hoping it's all real.
I mean, I still feel that myself too, right? Especially, it's funny because obviously I know how the sausage is made, but there is a part of me that because I'm in this world, I'm always, there's a part of me that I think it opens me up to possibility, right? I know that any extraordinary claim requires extraordinary proof, but it also just, there's stranger things in this world than fact and fiction.
This is true. So this is not your first foray with a Red Orchid Theater, and I mean they've been around for a while, and have some great stars. And they just did a show called Turret, which I you probably weren't here to see, but they do phenomenal stuff. And so this is sort of interesting. It wasn't your first experience with them. You actually, I'm not sure who approached who, but you did a show called Missed Connections, which made a lot of sense because it was a COVID era piece. We can kind of refer to that as in the past, the COVID era piece, even though it's still with us. So that meant everything you did had to be virtual. And if what I'm saying is true, I'm going to make you do something with me.
And I'm more than happy to share. But yeah, there was back in 2020, kind of late 2020, we were all in this wild world where we didn't know what was going to happen. And my basically entire industry shut down overnight. And so I started working on this virtual theatrical project. And that was when Alex first got involved. And that was the first project that we really worked on in earnest together. And I took a little bit of a leap and I thought, look, there are all these regional theaters across the world that are struggling, that are trying to figure out, like, how are we going to survive this time? And so I sent out just a bunch of random cold emails to theaters around the country. And to Red Orchid Theater's credit, Kirsten, the artistic director, she took a leap herself and was like, you know what? I will respond to this random person's email from a magician from Pittsburgh, right? And we started a correspondence, and that led to this Missed Connections show, which ended up being such a lovely, wonderful experience, and began a relationship that has now spanned several years. And now there's this amazing full circle moment where I'm physically in Chicago in their space, getting to hang with them and getting to share this work now.
So, given that it started that way, how did you find a Red Orchid? Why did you pick a Red Orchid Theater to reach out to? Or were they one of many theaters you were reaching out to in the area?
I threw a bunch of darts at the map. I realized we were in a funky time where geography didn't matter, but also still did, right? Because when we ended up partnering with the Red Orchid Theater, we presented the show through them. And yes, we had people from Israel and Japan in the same shows, but also, I got to start to actually meet a bunch of their patrons and the kind of local community here. And then the show ended up transferring off Broadway to 59 E59 in New York, where a Red Orc Theater remained as a presenting partner. And then again, geography didn't matter, but then it was a kind of a different kind of audience and a different kind of energy. This is still kind of surreal to me, but now that I'm here, I am meeting people in road signs who come up to me and were like, hey, we met you virtually over Zoom, and now we're here and meeting in the flesh, and just what an incredible wild thing.
You should make them watch you on their phone so they still don't get that.
Yeah, I know, right? I just need a cutout around my exactly. face so that they feel comfortable.
So,
yeah.
Pittsburgh is your home. Mm-hmm. Is this your first, based on what you just said, it sounds like this might be a first time to Chicago? Because part of this, and again, I'm not going to give things away. People need to see the show and enjoy it. But your journey is part of what makes up this show. And given the journey you talk about in the show, was Chicago ever a part of that journey?
It was. It was a stop on that road trip. And so actually, at the time, I was working remotely. And so it afforded me the ability to travel and work at the same time. And so I ended up spending almost 8 months on the road, traveling all around the country. And I traveled through Chicago at that time. And that was before I even knew a Red Orc Theater existed. It's been, it's funny the journeys we go on and then the paths that they lead to and all that jazz. But I've been to Chicago a few times before, never for an extended period of time. And so it's been really wonderful getting to hang out here and get to know the city less as a tourist and more as someone just kind of living here for a month.
Although I hope you are taking moments to do like I'm sorry, I'm going off the road here, but the architectural boat tour, the different things that you've
already done. And okay. It was incredible. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And what kind of pizza are you eating? I got to do a pizza check.
Oh, I'm doing it all. So I've had Luminati's.
That's it.
That's fabulous. Yep. But I've also had a bunch of tavern style pizza, which I understand has a deep history here as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Great.
And are you seeing while you're here and you're going to be here through August 31st doing the show at a Red Orchid Theater? I'll tell people how to get tickets. But are you also seeing like Dennis Watkins over, who's now affiliated with the Goodman with his magic show and a Chicago Magic Lounge? Do you like get here and say, no, the last thing I want to do is go see another magician or another show? Or do you say, oh, no, I'm going?
No, are you kidding me? I love magic and I love the community. It's such a niche thing and such a lovely community. And actually, case in point, Dennis Watkins, I first met in Pittsburgh, which has a dedicated magic venue as well. And he was doing a run of shows there. And also, sidebar, just what a lovely human being. If you get a chance, and also just an incredible performer and incredible.
Oh, I've interviewed
show,
him a few times.
Please go check it out. But what was hilarious is I had one of my days off here and I literally walked around 15 miles around town and I passed by Dennis Watkins at the Goodman now. And I sent him a text. I was like, oh, hi, just a photo of me with him. And he was like, are you here right now? Because I'm at the theater. Come say hi, please.
So you did.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we got to say hi, and I would absolutely love to catch a show at the Goodman, schedule permitting, since we're both performers, that tends to make it a little bit tough. But no, well, I absolutely
next time
love
you
to
do
catch
it, make
other
him take,
theater. Yeah.
Next time you do it, make him take you for a bite to eat upstairs at Pedorino's, which is sort of our version of Sardi's, and ask for the booth. It's booth 46 right behind it's sort of booth one from your perspective, and you'll be sitting under the WGN set. You'll see me under the light. So take
amazing. Amazing. I would love
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely. I just sit there. So every time I go, that's where I sit. And I just sit and point to my pick. No, I know. I did. People would say, that's the politics guy. Get him. But anyway, so let's go back to the show. What gave you the sense? Because again, you could have, like you said, you were in eighth grade and you bought the DVD. I remember the very first trick I ever bought. Somebody demonstrated the rings, the metal rings. And then
I bought it
because I was so mad. I bought it. And then I went, that's it. Anyway,
I know.
So disappointing. But so what led you to say maybe it was your work with Alex, but is Alex also a magician or writer? Who was it that said we need to create a theatrical journey?
Yeah. So Alex comes from a deep theater background, love of theater, love of magic, never studied magic himself, though, which makes it a really wonderful partnership. We're like a really great Venn diagram of different strengths and then an overlap in trust and just love of the work. Right. And so it was, you know, I credit Alex a lot with this. Like when we approached this particular project, we really wanted to approach it from the angle of, again, within and of itself, shows like that as a point of inspiration. We really wanted to craft a journey where, again, the tricks aren't necessarily the point of it, right? But rather looking at them as tools to create a certain kind of experience, to take people on a certain kind of journey. And, you know, as a magician, it's pretty wild because it takes a lifetime to learn and get good at just the craft of magic, right? But then if in your journey as in the world of magic, you start to have a desire to create kind of narrative or theatrical experiences, in a way, it's almost a bum deal because you realize, oh, wait, I have to also be an actor, a director, a writer, you know, a stager, a lighting designer, and all these things. And it was Alex who really pushed me in this show to think, okay, this is a journey we want to take people on. Let's be really ruthless in choosing effects and tools that further that story. And anything that doesn't belong here. Right. So you'll notice, like, for example, there are no playing cards in the show because that would be a bit out of place in the environment that's created there.
Right? Or coin work. You're not doing coin work.
Exactly. Exactly. And also my work is not necessarily focused on sleight of hand as a display of skill, which is beautiful and which I could watch all day long. Right. But it's really almost as me as kind of a guide and a shepherd taking people on this journey where we're kind of experiencing it together. I know the destination, of course, right? But I'm also not really the, you know, omnipotent, all-powerful magician who snaps his fingers and makes whatever he wants happen, right?
Just a couple of follow-ups to that. First of all, there are moments, the end of the show, I say jaw-dropping for a reason because, and again, I'm not giving anything away. So let's just say that the final thing that happens in the show, you just go, what? and you, of course, say thanks and off you go off the stage. But it's really an amazing moment that off the screen, you can tell me how you do it. But I know you won't. But the other thing is, I'm looking at the glass of water in front of you, and I know you said you'll be able to do something for me. Now, I no longer look at a glass of water the same way as I did before I saw you in the show.
And what you did on opening, cardboard cutout, actually.
and what you did opening. Oh, so I don't know if what you're going to do will involve that glass of water. It did on opening night, and it also involved me, if you recall. And I never want to have a glass of water again, based on what you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, indeed.
And it's something that happens a couple of times in the show that I just turned my partner and went, oh my God. So by the way, without giving it away, because people need to go see this show at a Red Orchid Theater, are you actually doing what I think you're doing? I mean, so are you drink the glass of water? I'll just say that.
Are you doing
what I think you're doing?
Yeah. If you come see the show and come back to this interview, you'll know what we're talking about. But yes, I am. And okay. Here, without giving too much away, I will let you know, given that I've done, this is the fifth run of the show, I have over $100 in singles.
Really?
Yes.
We should invest you.
It's an investment in the show, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, if we've intrigued anybody with that, and I do, I will get comments from somebody, what were you talking about, you know, whatever. Go see the show because that's the answer. And by the way, I guess I'll say this. You can get tickets at a Red mm-hmm. Orchid Theater, spelled the proper British way, T-R-E at the end, aredorchidtheater.org. And you'll find out exactly what we're talking about. And you, too, will be absolutely amazed. But, John, having said that, since you did do Miss Connections as a virtual show, that means since we're virtual right now, can you show us something that will just also intrigue people? Right now, we're just giving them little tips about things they'll see.
Yeah, absolutely.
Show me your skill, your talent, your magic.
Hey, I appreciate the invitation. You know, actually, this is perfect because, you know, we started with this Miss Connections show that was performed virtually. And so I'd love to actually share the opening piece from that show.
Oh, right? Okay.
Because I think that'll be a lovely full circle moment as well. And,
I mean, this is not going to involve the glass of water. That's just there.
Oh, I mean, you know, I get thirsty, as you know.
Okay. My mind went to another place, so I'm wrong. Okay.
Oh, I know. And we're, you know, hopefully this is intriguing you to find out what we're talking about.
Yes, it is.
So, the Hardimas connections was similar, though distinctly different from the heart of Rose Signs. But it was about community building, about bringing people together, especially in a time when we were so isolated. And something I talk about in that show early on is, it took place from my home in Pittsburgh and down the cafe, down the street from where I live in Pittsburgh, a little neighborhood called Troy Hill. There used to be a little coffee shop cafe called the Pear and the Pickle, and it was a place very near and dear to my heart.
This is not
And
the Scratch and Company.
no, this is a different restaurant. Actually, Scratch and Co. is also in the Troy Hill neighborhood, also another wonderful neighborhood
I know you
spot.
love it. That's why I mentioned it. Yeah.
The Pear and Pickle sadly is no more. But while it was there, on occasion, what I would do is I would kind of walk down there and I would bring this easel and this frame sign. The sign basically just said "Magic Mind Reading and Mystery on Demand." And I would get a cup of coffee in hand, sit at a large communal table, and I would share a little bit of magic and mystery with anyone who was curious enough to say hello,
So
right?
this is like we just
And
run into you in the coffee shop then.
exactly. And as you can imagine, there were plenty of times someone would walk in, see me with my son, get one of those looks on their face, and just walk away. And I'm sure some had to run or maybe didn't have the time. But I always wondered for how many it was just that their curiosity wasn't quite enough to overcome all the things built up in us over the years that stop us from saying hello to a random stranger.
Right.
Right.
Did you have a little tip jar too? People could tip you, I hope, for doing that.
No, I wouldn't even bother with that.
Really?
It was really just a joy to get to share. Yeah,
Okay.
absolutely. And so, Paul, I realize we're not sitting in a coffee shop right now. As you mentioned, I don't even have a cup of coffee, just a small glass of water. But today, right now, in your own way, you've been curious and brave enough to say hello. And so I'd love to share one of my favorite things with you right now, which is this guessing game where I have this. And I don't know if you can make that out from where you're sat, but here, I'll try to bring it closer to the camera. And oh,
If you were
camera's
my house,
definitely
you'd be a
reversed.
wasp, but okay,
Oh,
it's not.
gosh. Yeah. All right. That definitely isn't going to work. Here, tell you what, Paul, I'll give you a hint. It's
Okay.
something that's round. It's something that is quite shiny, especially when held in the right light. And it is something that is just a little heavier than a quarter. On the count of three, will you shout out a guess?
Sure.
One, two, three.
Half dollar.
Paul, you nailed it. It is a half dollar.
You
A
see,
Kennedy half dollar because you've seen so much magic. Yes. But Paul, this is one of my favorite things to share, especially with someone I've just met, because it's something that leads a person to make a choice where, you can look at me and you can roll your eyes and go, look, I know there's something there. This is dumb. Get a real job. Or even knowing full well there's nothing there, right? You can choose to have a little fun, to play a little pretend.
but
And so again, I know.
you had to count on me saying half dollar, right?
Well, here's the thing. So again, I know you're not actually sat across from me, but you know what? If this coin can be real, why not my water, a cup of coffee?
Oh,
And why can't we allow ourselves to escape into another world,
so what
even if
you're
it's
saying
just
is everybody
for
who's
this time
watching
that we
us who
have
just
together?
noticed that if you're listening, your cup of water just turned into a cup of coffee. If you're watching this, then rewind, which because that's what I'm going to do when I watch this
Of
to figure out
course,
when did that happen?
of course. Well, cheers, my friend.
Well, and yet if I knew how you did this, I'd go, I could do that too, right, John?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with the craft of magic. It is a craft as any other. It is a learnable thing. And so when someone encounters a moment that breaks their reality and they feel the urge to find out more about it, what's wonderful about the world now is that information is in so many ways so accessible, right?
Yeah.
But, I think what you hopefully found at the show is that, the tricks in the show are almost like the paint to a painter. Right. It is the basic layer, but it's how you use the paint, how you use the tricks in different ways to create something that's hopefully more than just a puzzle to solve, right? But rather a hopefully a meaningful experience,
And I
right?
should say, you involve many members of the audience through the night. Basically, just ask them what their first name. You're also very careful. It's pretty clear that if somebody doesn't want to play, you don't force anybody to play. I, of course, had my hand ready to
No,
go.
certainly not.
But that being said, when you do sort of call on people and you interact, do you read that ahead of time? Do you sort of know different people that I'm not going to go to that person, or have you ever called on somebody who's like, then they just kind of, no, 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 no.
Yeah, of course. And that's part of the joy of it too, right? Because it's fresh and interesting for me, because really the show is about the people at the show. And every show is different because each individual is different, but then as a group, each audience brings their own kind of broad energy and that kind of thing. And one way to look at the show too is a series of gentle invitations for people to step into that world a little bit more and a little bit more. But I'm also very careful because I know, different strokes for different folks, and not everyone wants to be as directly involved or in different ways. And so I'm always very gentle trying to meet people where they're at. And what's delightful for me too is, yes, of course, I'm always kind of like split second gauging if someone seems really into it and wants to be a part of it. But what's also lovely is I'm wrong half the time, right? And half the time I'll be like, oh, I don't think this person might be so into it. And they'll be the most lovely human and be the most engaged. And it's just kind of a reminder to me as well to just kind of try to meet people where that and be as empathetic as possible,
You also, what I love is you let people sort of pursue. I'm assuming you know this happens, but you're not on stage, so I'll tell you. When we all get there, not giving anything away, you ask us to fill something out, a little piece of paper, put it in a box, right? I don't think I'm giving anything away.
Yeah,
And
that's totally fine.
eventually that stuff all becomes very public and it's all out there. And when you leave this, at the end of the show, when you leave stage, you leave that
Yeah,
behind.
actually, Paul, I'll jump in here because I don't want to ruin anything there.
Oh, okay.
But
Well,
yeah,
I wasn't
I
sure.
like
Okay, I don't want
to.
to go anywhere I shouldn't. Okay.
No, totally. But I know what you're talking about, and
Okay.
I think it's also just a lovely thing and respectful thing to give them that agency, right? Where I've referenced in and of itself a few times that if anyone has seen that show, you also know that there are moments in that show that leave openings for you to kind of live in the world a little longer beyond just the confines of it. And so that's kind of really the hope and the wish, right? That yes, the show happens in the course of the hour in that theater, but then what you hold with you and take forward travels beyond that, right?
And all I'm saying is you're quite comfortable when you leave the show, leaving us.
Totally,
Right. Are there also a series of, because I did not see your original Misconnections, but when you created this show with Alex, did you, are there a whole variety of things you could have done and said, no, that doesn't fit, we're not gonna work that in the show?
Oh, the cutting room floor is littered with things. Yes, absolutely.
Which means there's a road signs two yet to come potentially.
Well, it's funny you ask that, right? Because yes, we're doing the show here at a Red Orbit Theater. It's a fifth run of the show, but there is kind of this broader dream and mission that we've had in the back of our minds, and somewhat not in the back of our minds, which is, it's a show exploring our American dreams, right? Across this kind of road trip across America. And so, what would it look like to share the show in every one of the 48 contiguous states and explore, our American dreams across individual and collective across the whole country, right? And so that a little teaser perhaps for
Okay.
future life.
And also not with apologies, never wanting to give anything away. Thank you for stopping me if that was going to be a giveaway. But also part of the story you tell in the show is you've mentioned you've traveled around. I'm not going to give this away either, but in the show we learn why you travel around. So I'm just going to say, is that true? I mean, is that created for the show or that is true? The why you say you are traveling.
Yeah, I really appreciate that question actually, because I know especially in the realm of magic, there's kind of like this layer of back of mind, like, is this real, right? Not just the tricks, but like, are any of these stories real or anything like that? But funnily enough, I think truth is actually hugely important in magic, right? It's like we understand that the illusions are not actually happening, but I think what's more important is that the core of the thing is true, right? And people can tell when it's not a true, heartfelt kind of story. And so, yeah, I actually went on this road trip and I actually felt many of these things, and kind of was in a period of kind of finding myself in that way. And so absolutely all of the things in the heart of the narrative are very true to me then and now when I get to kind of take folks on that journey as well.
Yeah, and of course, at the end, we understand what was that was all about for you, and where that kind of concludes. I mean this as a complete compliment. Your approach, you're just even interacting with you here, but even in the show, from the moment you walked on, there is a sophistication about what you do. Now, other magicians might go, "Hey, what are you talking about?" Well, there's a lot of magicians. It's just they're very come to this kid's birthday party, be goofy on stage. Magicians, they're performers, they're entertainers, and I get it. But your approach to me, this is my take. You disagree with it. Your approach is different. There is just a more, maybe it's that psychology Cornell thing going on, but there is, there just is a more intellectual approach to what you do, which means that when we actually see some of the magic you perform, you're taking us into the world that many a magician might venture into. There's something intellectual about what you do. Have you heard that before? Am I misreading this? Do you even know what I'm talking about?
You know, what I think it comes down to is context and intention, right? And I love a good traditional magic show with that kind of energy. And I think that's great in certain kinds of contexts, right? And so, like, for example, the Chicago Magic Lounge, what a fabulous venue that you have here in Chicago, by the way. What a gift that exists here. Yeah, I've been there twice. Okay. And it's much more of a kind of a nightclub environment where, yeah, you're going to just have an amazing, fun, rad time, right? What I realized for me early on is that me trying to do that would be disingenuous and would probably ring false, right? Given just you're interacting with me and kind of my vibe and energy. Like, I'm much more of a quiet, kind of almost like gentle, mellow demeanor. And so I'm very intentional about, again, being kind of true to that and true to myself in what I give people, right? Rather than trying to give people something that I'm not. Yeah.
Are you a magician who performs or a performer who is a magician?
That's such an interesting way of framing that. I have never thought about that, but perhaps it is the latter, you know? Especially these days, right? I think I started out truly as a magician, and then now in where we're exploring with like this work in this narrative form, maybe I'm a performer who happens to have a deep love of the craft of magic and the knowledge of it.
So does that transfer, and I don't mean to be funny, but does that transfer into, if the Goodman's putting on a show, we might one day see John just audition for it? I mean, forget the magic, that you would just perform and say, no, it needs to be in the world of magic.
Hey, I don't say never to anything. You know, if I said anything with certainty, the only thing I know for certain at this point in my life, not that I'm old by any stretch of the imagination, is that nothing is certain, right? Who knows where life will lead in a year down the road, 5 years down the road, 10 years down
so
the
Pittsburgh,
road.
So Pittsburgh remains home. One would argue that as a performer, New York could be in your future. And you were in New York, certainly for a while, Chicago, LA. Does Pittsburgh remain home? Is that critical to who John is?
No, it's... You know, I love Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has been home base, and I have no plans for that to change in the immediate. It's such a wonderful city. And in some ways, actually, Chicago feels reminiscent of Pittsburgh, but obviously on a much larger scale. But I'm certainly, you know, I am still on the road and I'm still traveling around, and I'm very open to traveling around. Pittsburgh really affords me the opportunity to do that, too. It's just a very easy place to have a home base and just a wonderful, lovely town. Yeah.
Yeah. I spent many years on the lecture circuit. Trust me. So I get that. Only my appearances would be one day and move on to the next city to speak and stuff. And one tires of that eventually. By the way, the performer end of you. So do you get a chance? Got to ask it. Do you get a chance? We just had the Midnight of Good in the Garden of Evil at the Goodman. Unbelievable. Which just closed. Back to the Future down the street. So on those few off nights, do you get, is it sort of a let me enjoy some Chicago theater?
Of course. Paul, last night I actually went to the Back to the Future musical, and then I did catch Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil a week and a half ago.
Good.
I'm absolutely taking full advantage of being here. And, whenever I have time, I mean, I love theater. I love magic. I love performance in general and art. And so absolutely, I'm going to take it all in as much as I can. If anyone has any recommendations, please don't hesitate to let me know.
It's closed now as well, but did you get to Steppenwolf for Laurie Metcalf show?
No, unfortunately, I missed that one. Yeah.
All right. That was a goodie. Lots of others. I'll give you recommendations all while you're here.
Awesome.
Which is fine. So while you're here, I don't know if you brought family, friends, whatever with you, but is this also an opportunity for you to not only enjoy the city, but work on new material and new things?
You know, I'm actually just really focused on road signs in particular, right? And being really present for the show and trying to give everyone as deep and wonderful of an experience as possible. And I know there will be plenty of opportunities, down the road to work on new things. And I'm constantly kind of working on new ideas. But I'm also very conscious of being, you know, when I'm in the middle of the thing, I just really want to be present for it and just enjoy it as much as possible, you know?
Well, I said, I was incredibly and pleasantly surprised because I just, you know, I expected something very traditional and I mean, I knew I would enjoy it because I love magic, but just walked out. And as I said, had to immediately talk to you and say, let's talk about this. And we haven't even, I don't think we've given too much away.
No, it was perfect.
about what you've done. And hopefully you're making new friends here in Chicago and while you're enjoying the city and getting around. It's such a friendly city.
I mean, mostly. You included, Paul. Like, it was so good to meet you and Rafi and everything. And no, everyone's been so lovely and warm. And, you know, I think one of the best ways to see and get to know a new place is through the eyes of people who have been here and who have a love of it. So
without question. And if our viewers and listeners haven't been to a Red Orchid Theater, it's a very intimate space. Recently, if you saw, not you, but Zac Efron, which just played there, which is put on by a new all Asian American theater group that's in town. And it was an amazing, wonderful show. But the bottom line is it's just that space is fabulous for a show like yours. It's just so perfect. So I want to encourage people to get tickets at redorchidtheater.org. Again, theater spelled T-R-E at the end, redorchidtheater.org. You're only here till August 31st and time flies, John.
It does indeed.
Just fabulous. I'm so glad you're here. And I hope this is it's not the first time in Chicago, but the next of many times that you'll come to this city for people to see road signs. You're so talented. You do such great stuff. And please tell me how you do everything.
All right. Sounds good. Are the cameras still rolling? Or are we?
No, they're not, John. Go ahead. Yeah. Thank you, John Tai. Cool. You're doing great. We can't wait to see that show again. You're fabulous. Thank you.
Hey, Paul, thank you so much. Appreciate you taking the time.